Very good evening and welcome to this week's Over the White Line here on 93.7 Express FM, your local radio station for Portsmouth, where we are proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. For more information on the service that they provide, do head over to their website. It is biscos-law.co.uk, and it is another jam-packed hour full of football chat. And we're going to begin with Hamilton Waterlooville. They got their season up and running at the weekend. They took on Western Supermare in the National League South, and it was a disastrous start to the season as far as Hamilton Waterlooville were concerned. A 2-0 defeat away from home to kick off their campaign. Huge work for them to do to get themselves off and running. They take on Chippenham Town at the weekend. But before that game, there was a few new signings that was announced. The first of them being Dylan Berry, precocious young goalkeeper, stepping in for the injured Ross Warner, who picked up an injury during their pre-season campaign. So Dylan coming in to deputise for Hamilton Waterlooville in that meantime, before Ross Warner gets back to fully fledged health and fully fledged fitness between the sticks for the Hawks, now involved in his fifth season at the football club, incredibly enough. And we will preview Hamilton's fortunes a little bit later on in tonight's programme. But we're going to talk FA Cup now, because that got underway at the weekend, and our local sides, well, they were full of expectation and full of a little bit of hope as well in that particular competition. And well, it all kicked off on Friday night. Moneyfield's the first side in our local area to get things up and running as far as that particular competition was concerned, and they would get us off to a winning start in the local area, getting the better of Westby United by a 2-0 under the lights at Wesley Park. And then Saturday's action as far as our local sides in the competition were concerned, this of course the extra preliminary round, well, it wasn't such good fortune for Baffin's Milton Rovers. They were knocked out in a 7-goal thriller against AFC Stoneham by 4-3. Meanwhile, elsewhere, United Services Portsmouth, well, they got their name in the hat for the next round. They got the better of Christchurch by 2-0, looking to improve this season under the stewardship of Fraser Quirk. Horton Dean, of course, new level for them this season, but starting at the same stage of the FA Cup. They got the better of Portland United by 3-0 over at Five Heads Park. Petersfield Town, well, they got the better of Lymington by 6-0. Of course, the new side in the Wessex League Premier Division from our local area. And then AFC Porchester getting the better of Wells City by 2-1. So Dave Carter's side up and running for the season ahead, whilst Fareham Town got the better of Welton Rovers by 7-1. That was at West Clues' Recreation Ground. So that was the FA Cup action on Saturday. As far as Tuesday night's action is concerned, well, it was a bit of a mixture of Hampshire Senior Cup and Wessex League Premier affairs for our local sides. Moneyfield's getting the better of Andover New Street. That was by 2-0. Whilst Baffin's Milton Rovers, they were in action in the Wessex League Premier Division. They made the long-awaited trip over to the Isle of Wight, where they took on Cowes Sports, and it was a 4-1 victory there for Baffin's Milton Rovers over at Westwood Park. So victory there for Baffin's Milton Rovers. We'll go through and digest the fixtures for the weekend in the subsequent parts of the show to come. We're going to hear from both Graham Ricks and Danny Thompson in the third part of the programme. Both have been busy talking away to Paul Marsh over the last couple of days or so. But that is as far as the action is concerned involving our local sides in the FA Cup over the course of the weekend. So that saw a number of our local teams into the hat for the next round of the FA Cup. And these fixtures will take place on Saturday the 19th of August. Well, Fareham, they got a home tie against Bashley. Moneyfield's back in the hat. They're going to make the trip to the Bob Lucas, and they're going to take on Hanworthy United. Horn Dean, well, they're going to play Brockenhurst over at Five Heads. Petersfield Town up against Bemerton Heath Harlequins. Baffin's Milton Rovers, well, they're going to make the trip over to Portland United. Whilst United Services Portsmouth, well, they are going to host Larkhall Athletic over at HMS Temeraire. So that is the local Emirates FA Cup action for the second round, for the preliminary round in the competition. Right, we're going to take a short break here on Over the White Line. Upon our return, we've got plenty of interviews with local managers that are getting ready for an exciting new season ahead. It's a new challenge for Joe Lear. He's taking on the task over at Gosport Borough alongside Pat Sirachi, who both take joint charge of the club. And we'll also be hearing from Carl Watson. He's the manager of Moneyfields women's side. A second season for them in the FA Women's National League First Division South West. So plenty to look forward to as far as they're concerned in the coming campaign. Plenty for you to look forward to as well. Don't forget you can get in contact with us on the text, on the tweets and via the emails. It is Express and Your Message. That is to 81400. Express and Your Message to 81400. Tweet us. The handle you need is at ExpressFM, or you can send us an email. It is studio@expressfm.com. So we'll hear from Joe Lear and Carl Watson on the other side of this short break. You're listening to Over the White Line, sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It's the place where the right team gets you the right results.
Over the White Line with Henry Deacon.
Very warm welcome back to the second part of tonight's Over the White Line, which is proudly brought to you by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. For more information on the services they provide, do head over to their website. It is biscos-law.co.uk. I'm Henry Deacon. I'm here for you until 7pm this evening, covering all the latest news, reviews and interviews from across our local footballing game. And of course, you can get in contact with us this evening. Text Express and Your Message, the number you need is to 81400. You can tweet us, the handle is at ExpressFM, or you can send us an email. It is to studio@expressfm.com. And remember, if you haven't done so already, don't forget to download the all brand new ExpressFM app, which you can download via the Apple App Store or via Google Play, wherever you get your apps from. You can download it from there, and there's plenty of brand new features on there. You can listen to us live on the go wherever you are in the world, and you can get in contact with us via voice notes. So do get in contact with us via the brand new Express FM app. But back to the local footballing news now, and we're going to head over to Gosport Borough. New management for them this season. Joe Lear and Pat Sirachi taking joint charge after a successful season at Petersfield Town last time out, where they won promotion from the Wessex League First Division to the Premier Division. Now at Gosport, a couple of leagues higher, three divisions the jump from where they got Petersfield promoted from last term. Well, a new young management team, but it heralded a good result on Saturday as they claimed a 2-0 victory against Bracknell Town to kickstart their season with some aplomb. And early on this evening, I caught up with Joe Lear, one of the joint managers, to assess what it's been like taking up the hot seat and taking up the reins at Privet Park and the season ahead. All right, so that joining me on the other end of the line is the Gosport Borough joint manager, Joe Lear. Joe, new season, new club for yourselves. Gosport Borough for you this year. Just describe how you've kind of settled into the club.
Yeah, I think for me and Pat, it's not been difficult to settle in. We were part of the club for a long time as players and as coaches in the academy there. So it's not been difficult to settle, really. We also knew a lot of the players that we were inheriting as well. So it's been quite a simple process to settle in. It's just been a case of kind of getting our ideas across, and I'm sure that it's a little bit different to what they experienced last year. So I think, yeah, it's been fine, and we've really enjoyed it so far.
When the pair of you were offered the job, was it almost the simplest yes you could give?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had a great year at Petersfield, and we obviously earned promotion and got to the cup final. I think to make a three league jump from where we were, especially at a club that's well backed by a chairman who for the club to succeed, and we obviously have a bit of a head start in some ways because we, like I mentioned a minute ago, we knew people at the club. It was just a no-brainer, really. I think it's, you don't normally see people at our age kind of managing at this level, so we
and I can imagine, as you say, at your age, you don't often see managers manage at that level, but how much was trust a big thing when accepting the job because of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, you know, I think an important thing for me and Pat as well is that we back ourselves. Mm-hmm. We believe we're good coaches. We have spent a lot of time on the grass coaching at various levels with various age groups over the last 5 years, probably. We've got so much experience with our coaching already at this age, and I think Petersfield was an ideal way for us to start in men's football. And we are grateful that the club have really trusted us with taking charge, but also we do back ourselves. I think you have to, especially at this level. You've got to have self-belief that you can get the job done.
Most certainly. And look, let's go to the beginning of the season. 2-0 victory against Bracknell Town at home on the opening day. And I suppose those early season nerves, they get eased, don't they, if you win on the opening day?
Yeah, I suppose. I think it's a strange one. Any time you go into the opening day, it always kind of feels like there's maybe a bit more than 3 points on the line. Really, it's just one of, 40-odd league games that you're going to play in a season. But I think because there's so much build-up with, the fixtures getting released and you have 6 weeks building up to your first game, it almost feels like it's bigger than it is, if that makes sense. So I think for us it was a good performance, a good win. Bracknell are a strong side. They obviously lost in the playoff final last year, but it is also just one win. So it's very much just look ahead now to Plymouth on Saturday and move on.
Most certainly. And I suppose in terms of this season, as you mentioned last season, it was a difficult season for Gosport. They were in a battle at the wrong end of the table, part of the table they don't want to be a part of. Different managers obviously coming in and out. How important was it to get that opening and try and create as much stability as possible in these early stages of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's tough because there's a lot of changes that me and Pat bring just naturally with who we are. I think just the way that we approach training and bits like that as well, it's a bit of a difference for the players. I think, at the end of the day, results are the most important thing in football. So, I'd be lying if I said winning on the opening day wasn't big for us, because of course it was. And, the earlier you can win games, the more confidence you build early in the season, and hopefully that leads on to a strong second half of the season as well. So the win was big in a lot of ways, because it almost settled you down a bit, like you said, but there's a long, long way to go, and we just got to kind of look forward to Saturday now.
As you say, Plymouth Parkway away, not an easy time. It's not easy when you're making that trip down either, is it?
No, it's a long way to go. I've done plenty of trips like that as a player. We obviously didn't have any like that really last year at Petersfield because the league's a lot more regionalised. But it's a really difficult place to go. They are a good side, a really strong, organised side, and they obviously had a bad week, a bad Saturday, last Saturday, but I think we know that we're going to be up against a physical, well-organised side, and when you go away to places like this, we want to play a certain style of football, but you also have to appreciate that hard work and almost fighting and battling is the most important thing to get a result.
And that's, I suppose, the kind of games where you need those leaders within the group to really stand up, I suppose.
Yeah, and we're very lucky in that regard. We're not short of leaders in the group. This is a really, the group of people that we have here is a really good group. There's a nice feel about the place. There's a nice vibe amongst the players. And we have leaders in Rory, in Dan Wooden, Danny Hollands, Charlie Wasmer. We've got some real experienced players, but also some of the younger lads have really taken ownership as well, and we want to give them ownership. Those boys are massive for us, and especially, they've played a million long away games before, and we'll be counting on their experience on Saturday.
Well, Joe, we wish you all the very best at the weekend. Thank you very much for your time as ever, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it, mate.
So then, that is Joe Lear catching up with me early on this evening on the back of Gosport's 2-0 victory against Bracknell Town to kick off their season over at Privet Park. As I mentioned in that interview, it's a long trip Saturday to Plymouth Parkway, so they're going to be making their way all the way down to Devon. 3 o'clock kickoff in that one. And then this time next week, they'll find themselves back in action in the league. They're going to be hosting Basingstoke Town over at Privet Park, one of two games that's going to be taking place next Wednesday night. It's going to be one of those busy live score programmes that we're going to be bringing you here on Over the White Line. So Gosport against Basingstoke, that's next Wednesday at 7:45, and we'll be bringing you more on that next week. But It's early days, but we're going to bring it up. We've got Sport fourth in the table, 3 points to their name, having won their opening match of the season. So top four, we'll bring it up as early as you possibly can. So a decent enough position for Gosport to find themselves in. New management team over the summer period and yielding some different fortunes compared to last season, where they really were fighting down in a basement fight at the bottom end of the table, and the relegation dogfight was something they were very much a part of. They managed to get their way out of it under the stewardship of Mark Moseley, but Gosport looking at the right end of the table, they hope, by the end of the campaign. Right, moving on to Moneyfield now, because it's an exciting season for their women's side. Second season in the FA Women's National League First Division South West. First time out, they finished third in the league. A really good achievement, considering it was the first time they've ever played at a level like that before. But it's not stopping them from becoming oh so more ambitious in the 2023-2024 season. Carl Watson is a man that has high expectations, high hopes, and big dreams and big ceilings for this Moneyfields side, and I caught up with him earlier on this evening to reflect on their first season at that level last time out and see what the goalposts are ahead of 23-24. I say that I am joined on the other end of the line now by the Moneyfields manager Carl Watson. Carl, let's begin by going back into last season, your first season at Women's National League Division 1 level, third place finish. What would be your overall thoughts on that opening campaign?
As a first campaign, you'd have to say it was fairly successful. We obviously had top three finishes. It is a good way to start your campaign in those divisions and in that level. We do believe we could have achieved more. There were small details here and there, you know, those little things, the difference between winning and losing, just small details along the way which could have improved it. But as a whole, yeah, it was a very satisfying first season.
Do you feel those small little details, those kind of lessons learned that you go along when you get to a new level?
Yeah, of course. I've said this a few times. When you go from step five to step four, you don't go up one division. You go up 10. It's just such a big jump in terms of A, the quality, B, the commitment that's needed, the travel, the levels of everything, the level of concentration. It's a far more tactical, technical league. It's a very physical league in comparison to Tier 5. It's no coincidence that the stats averaged 8 kilometres the year before in Step 5. And the last year was averaging around the 10 mark on every player. So it shows there was a big difference. It was a big step.
What was the biggest, not culture shock, but the biggest thing you had to adapt to very quickly last season, did you think?
The relentlessness of it, because although there were a few sides down the bottom that struggled, even the lower sides had big, strong physical players that could play. They were all of a decent level. Even though, obviously, it looks on paper like the two or three down the bottom had a really miserable time, they still weren't walkover games. They were still games where you had to perform. Obviously, you go from kind of 10 games to 20 games, or the amount of sides in the league is bigger. You play more cup competitions, there's more travel. So it went from kind of an 800 metres, if you like, to a 3,000, 5,000 metre Olympic event. And we've learned a lot from that this season going forward. We're a lot more prepared for this season.
As I say, from season one at that level to season two at that level, what's been the biggest changes off the field?
Biggest changes off the field? Well, obviously, through the process of the season, we were identifying what we needed to do better from myself, what I needed to do better, what the staff needed to do better, how we could have improved ourselves to assist the players, and what areas on the pitch we needed to improve as well. So We've learned, every week's been a learner, and I really do feel like this season we're fully prepared. We're fully prepared now. Pre-season's gone well.
Imagine, how has pre-season gone? The ball's out, the cone's out now?
They've been out for a fair while. They've been out for quite some time. So we started, I think, back June the 9th. So we've been going for a fair bit. We did some old-fashioned traditional hill running, and before the balls came out, and we've been working on within units and units linking units together, and the playing philosophy, all areas in and out of possession. We've gone into far more detail this season, and pre-season last year was a bit of a horror show, whereas this season I'm very happy with how it's gone so far.
And how has the recruitment on the field gone over the summer?
Yeah, very well. We're in a bit of a privileged position. Obviously, we've built ourselves a good reputation. The staff and the players have got a real good sort of feel about the place. They've got a real good togetherness and a strong vibe around the camp. And players that have come in and trialled, etc., have seen that and enjoyed it. With one or two other clubs in the area, maybe not as strong as they've been previously. It's also put us in a real prime position for being attractive to players in the local area, you know.
And just finally, away at Millwall, Lionesses on Sunday in pre-season action, 2 weeks away from the big kickoff.
Yeah. During my B licence, Keith Bonas has taken over at Millwall, so we were fortunate enough to get that one penciled in, which will be a good challenge because he's a top coach, and that'll be they'll be a really well organised side. So we're looking forward to Sunday, and then two more training sessions before the big kickoff. And to be honest, looking around the training ground last night, the girls, the staff, myself, everyone's chomping at the bit for the 20th of August to come round. We can't wait to get going now.
Well, Carl, we wish you all the very best, and Sandy, wish you all the very best for the season ahead. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll of course catch up with you soon.
Lovely. Thanks for the call, Henry.
So then that is Carl Watson, the Moneyfields head coach, catching up with me early on this evening ahead of the start of their season. That's going to be on the 20th of August, and it is a trip to Southampton to kick off for them. It's the second season at National League Division 1 South West level, and they're looking to improve upon what was a very good opening showing following promotion a couple of years ago when they finished in third position. Right, we're going to take a short break. When we return, plenty of FA Cup reaction to come from the likes of Danny Thompson and Graham Ricks. Well, Fairham were the big winners at the weekend, 7-1 in the end, and they made their way through to the preliminary round with some vigour and some fire. Right, we're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll hear from Graham Ricks. We'll also hear from Danny Thompson. They were dumped out in a 7-goal thriller at the weekend. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us on the text, on your tweets, on your emails. It is Express and your message. That is to 81400. Express and your message to 81400. Remember, you can send us a tweet. It is at ExpressFM and email studio@expressfm.com. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, to download the all brand new ExpressFM app. It still has that brand new app smell. Download that from the Apple App Store, Google Play, wherever you download your apps from. And you can also send voice notes into the studio for whichever show you'd like to send those voice notes in for. But we're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll be getting the Wessex League roundup here on Over the White Line, where we are proudly sponsored by Bisco Solicitors. It is the place where the right team gets you the right results. And for more information on the services they provide, do head over to their website. It is biscos-law.co.uk. I'm with you until 7 p.m. this evening. Plenty to keep you entertained across Express. And Hannah Roper has Express Country between 7 and 9, when Dan Ogus is going to be scattering the roots, and Eleanor Scannell will have Express Hits from 11 p.m. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us via your text, your tweets, your emails. You can text Express and your message. That is to 81400. Express and your message to 81400. Tweet us at ExpressFM, or you can send us an email. The address you need is studio@expressfm.com. And of course, don't forget to download the all-new ExpressFM app, available on the Apple App Store and across Google Play. Wherever you get your apps from, you can be a part of the brand new ExpressFM app. But it was a busy weekend of FA Cup action involving our local sides. Mixed bag, mixed fortunes, it has to be said. More winners than losers in the end. Moneyfields got us up and running on Friday night, a 1-0 victory against Westbury United. Then Saturday, Baffins Milton Rovers edged out in a 7-goal thriller against ASC Stoneham by 4-3. United Services Portsmouth there through to the next round, beating Christchurch by 1-0. Horndean beating Portland United by 3-0. Petersfield beating Lymington by 6-0. 2-0. AFC Portsmouth are getting the better of Wells City, edging past them 2-1. But the big winners at the weekend were Fareham Town. They got the better of Welton Rovers by 7-1. So they are through to the next round of the Cup and through in emphatic style. Big season expected over at Cam Zorders. And earlier on this week, our colleague Paul Marsh, who presents the Express Mid-Morning Show from 10 until 1, caught up with Graham Ricks to assess what was, well, a very good weekend.
It's Paul Marsh here on Express, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the phone by Fareham Town manager Graham Ricks. Ricko, not a bad win on Saturday in the FA Cup, of course, a 7-1 away win to Welton Rovers.
Hi, Paul. Myself and Marty Wallace went down the week before to have a little look at them and see what we're up against. And we went there, and despite going a goal down after a minute from a very, very, very dubious penalty, the lads showed fantastic spirit and togetherness to run out easy winners in the end.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you do go a goal down, like you say, to a dubious penalty, sometimes you think to yourself, oh no, it's not going to be our day, long away journey home and all of those types of things. So to turn around and not only win, but win convincingly is just fantastic, because obviously winning your first league game as well, so that's 2 wins out of 2, it's a great start.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously we've got quite a few new players involved, a lot of young lads. So it's not going to gel straight away. But to be fair, against Handball they were great, and again on Saturday they were great. Showed great composure for a young team. Fantastic determination, and obviously we've got a few old heads in there. You need them, but absolutely delighted with everything they've been doing.
Obviously, like you say, you got a lot of new players, a lot of very good players as well. But I want to talk about Sammy Kesak. What a fantastic overhead kick he scored on Saturday.
Yeah, it was spectacular. Yeah, it was. And I was pleased for him because he's worked really hard in his fitness. He's got his head right and he's given it a real go this year, which pleased me. It was a fantastic goal, but to be fair, that probably wasn't the best goal that we scored on Saturday. Sam Woodward did a great little dink over the goalkeeper when he got in. Joe Johnson scored a great far post header, a bullet header. So, you know, there's not only good goals, but good displays, good determination. Honestly, I was over the moon, Paul. Really was.
Now, you talk about, obviously, some new players coming in, and you mentioned him already. You brought a new coach into the setup, Marty Wallace, of course, who was interim manager at AFC Portsmouth, I think maybe a couple of years ago, something like that. Having worked with Marty myself, not only is he a fantastic coach, but he's a great bloke as well.
Well, he is, yeah. I mean, there's myself and Matt Powell, obviously, last season, and we just brought Marty in just to give us that extra bit of help and take a bit of pressure off me and Matt. He's great. His knowledge is great. His enthusiasm for the game is infectious. And, good addition. You know, we've got a lot of really good people at the football club. And for me, that's the number one priority. Not what they can bring to the table as regards tactics or whatever, but what sort of personality are they? And it runs from, you know, the two kit men, Mark and Jim. You know, they're there all the time. They've got infectious personalities as well. So we've got a good group in the backroom staff and on the pitch, and I'm chuffed to bits, really am.
Through to the next round, you've been drawn with a very, very tough home draw against Bashley.
Yeah, obviously a league above us in the Southern League, and we'll be watching them and getting as much information as possible. It's good they're at home. I think we'll have fantastic support there. The Creeksiders are renowned for that. And let's hope we can perform somewhere near how we did on Saturday. And if we do that, then we'll have a chance of getting through.
And then,
only 13 games away from the semi-final spot.
Only.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, lastly, obviously, game Saturday. No game midweek, a game Saturday away to Blackfield.
Yeah, again, they've just changed manager recently. which is a little bit early in the season to change it. But I'm sure, you know what the Wessex League's like, mate, yourself. There's no easy games unless you're on it in your head and with your approach and your mentality. It's always a tough game. So at the moment, we're on it. So we'll be going there full of confidence, I hope, but not taking our foot off the pedal. That's what pleased me most about Saturday, was the fact that even when it was 3-1 and 4-1, we kept that pressure on, we kept going, looking for more goals, and that pleased me, you know, and we're going to need the same approach on Saturday against Blackfield.
Yeah, like you say, very, very easy when you get 3-1, 4-1 up to take your foot off and take it a little bit easy, but so very, very pleasing to not do
and
that.
And then one thing goes against you, and instead of being 3-1, it's 3-2, and all of a sudden you feel that bit of pressure build. So the best way to relieve that pressure is to score more goals.
Grant, fantastic start to the season. I hope it continues for the rest of the season, and I look forward to talking to you throughout.
Cheers, Marshy. Top geezer. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, fantastic start for Fair and Town to their campaign through to the next round of the FA Cup following a 7-1 victory on Saturday. Not quite the same fortunes as far as Baffin's Milton Rovers was concerned. They were edged out 4-3 by AFC Stoneham, and an absolute cracker on Saturday. Probably the tie of the round. It's definitely the tie of the round from a local sense, at least anyway, at the PMC Stadium. Well, they managed to recover from that setback and managed to get a win in the league last night. Getting the better of Cowes Sports by 4-1 over at Westwood Park. Never easy making the trip over to the island in midweek, but they managed to do so, and they managed to pick up the 3 points, which is the most important thing from their perspective. Right, let's hear from their manager now. Danny Thompson was catching up with Paul Marsh earlier on today.
It's Paul Marsh here on Express. Delighted to say that I'm joined by Baffin's Milton Rovers manager, Danny Thompson. Tomo, first win of the season last night. A nice trip over to the island.
Yeah, it was a good victory. It's never an easy place to go over the Cowes, especially on a Tuesday night. To be fair, we've had two tough opening league games. You know, Wokenhurst on the Tuesday prior to that, going down there and picking up a point, obviously, or taking that before the game, being the first league game. But last night, you know, we were decent last night, considering we was missing 4 or 5 key players. I had no Dan Wood, no Casey Bartlett-Scott, no Charlie Oakwell, no Robbie Evans, no Jason Parrish. You know, so it just shows how important the squad in depth was, and to come away from a tough game against Cowes with a 4-1 victory was really pleasing.
Is that because they couldn't make the boat over?
Charlie Oakwell's away for a week. Dan Wood got injured at the weekend against Stoneham. Jason's recovering from tendonitis. And Robbie Evans has been away. Casey couldn't make it because of he works late. They don't finish till 6, so obviously he's going to be struggling to get there. So yeah, but the lads that come in done really well. And as I said to them after the game, you know, it just shows how important, you know, everyone is that's involved in the squad, really.
Yeah, like you say, you've made a few new signings over the summer, and that strength in depth really is important, and no more so than games last night.
Yeah, definitely. You know, everyone's bought into what we're trying to do during the pre-season campaign. I keep banging the drum about we're not going to achieve what we want to achieve with the same 11 / same 16 week in, week out. You're always going to have injuries, suspensions, you know, players unavailable. So, as I said to them last night, you know, proof was in the pudding, really, because it was a proper professional away performance. I don't think many teams will go over the Cowes on a Tuesday night and, you know, and play them off the park like we've done. You know, on another night it might have been 6 or 7. It was a little bit frustrated to concede a penalty right at the death, because keeping a clean sheet would have been good for Luke in goal as well. He's done well since coming in. But look, from our opening two games, both away from home, tricky games for us to come away with, you know, with 4 points. I think this time last year, I think we lost our opening 3 games. So look, we're in a better place than when we started last season. But, you know, we finished strong towards the end of the campaign last year. We've managed to carry that on going into the start of this season.
Yeah, like you say, it's easy to go over the island midweek and make excuses, isn't it? And just say, oh, well, you know, players were missing and, you know, we drew 0-0 or we lost 1-0 or whatever. And it's easy to make those excuses. So the fact that you have played well, the fact that you've come away with a convincing win, like you say, compared to where you were last season, is a massive step up. Now, it doesn't stop there, of course. You got a difficult game this weekend, home to Christchurch. They've got a new manager as well, so they'll be playing for that new manager. It's obviously going to be a difficult game.
Yeah, look, you know, I've been in and around the Wessex League a long time, and there's no easy games, Marshy. You know, whether you're playing a side that's top of the league or a side that are down the bottom, you know, if you don't approach it with the right attitude, you'll end up getting turned over. And I think that's, you know, the, you know, that's what we've got to do every week. We've got to treat the game, you know, it's like a cup final. You know, I've made it quite clear. I want to try and break into the, you know, there's playoffs involved in our level this season. So, you know, that's our main aim, really. If we can get into the playoffs this year, you know, a kick on from what we achieved at the start of last season. But look, Christchurch, as you quite rightly say, they've got a new manager in Ollie Cherrett's come in. I know him quite well. I know they'll be well drilled, well organised. It'll be a tough game, but look, we're at home. We've got home advantage. We're on the back of an excellent performance and an excellent victory over the Isle of Wight last night. Well, a real headache, because obviously a few of them lads that I've mentioned to you earlier on are all back in contention. But, you know, it's a nice headache to have. But trying to keep the squad all happy at the minute isn't easy. But I'd rather have that problem than not.
Tomo, thank you very much, mate. I really do appreciate that. Like you say, it's been a great start to the season. I hope that continues at the weekend, and all the best, and I will talk to you throughout the season.
Cheers, Marshy. Top man.
Headaches are usually the sign of a happy manager, and that is seemingly the case for Danny Thompson over at Baffin's Milton Rovers. So, victory for them yesterday, backing off from that defeat in the FA Cup at the weekend. So, we've told you the results from our local games. Let's tell you what's coming up over the next week or so, because as you can imagine, the start of the season is always a hectic time, trying to get the fixtures in before the rain curtails things traditionally in December time. Right, so this is what we are going to see now. Baffin's Milton Rovers against Christchurch is going to kick off at a slightly earlier time on Saturday. That's going to be a 1 p.m. kickoff. So 1 o'clock for Baffin's Milton Rovers up against Christchurch. Meanwhile, at 3 o'clock, the local games involving our sides see AFC Porchester in action up against Laverstock and Ford Moneyfield. They're going to make the trip to AFC Stone and Fairham Town. They are away to Blackfield and Langley. Petersfield Town, of course, new to division this season under the stewardship of Callum Glenn, taking on Hythe and Dibden away from home. And then United Services Portsmouth, they're taking on Shaftesbury. Kick-off in that one at 3 o'clock. And then as far as Tuesday's action is concerned in the Wessex League, it is a split midweek worth of fixtures. AFC Porchester, well, they're going to make the trip to Hamble Club this time next week. Whereas Fairham Town, they're in Hampshire Senior Cup action away to Tadley Cleaver. Wise, because Pompey are at home to Exeter City in League One on Tuesday night, Moneyfields are going to take on Baffin's Milton Rovers at the PMC Stadium on Wednesday evening next week. So Wednesday evening next week for Baffin's Milton Rovers up against Moneyfield. So that is the Premier League. Let's round up what we've seen involving our sides in the first division then, shall we? Because we still have a couple of sides involved in action there. And it was a very good weekend for Steve Claridge's Fleetland side. 9-0 winners against New Milton Town at the DMW Stadium. In front of a good crowd as well for that level. 132 making their way there. And then as far as they are concerned, moving forward back in action at the weekend. No action for them in midweek. So as far as they're concerned on Saturday, well, they're going to be involved in action. Of course, Clanfield involved first. They take on Fawley away on the Friday night football. And then Fleetlands take on Alresford Town on a Saturday. Kickoff in that one is at 3 o'clock. So Fleetlands against Alresford Town on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Wessex League First Division. So those are the fixtures there ahead of the weekend. Just a reminder of some of the other games that are taking place elsewhere. Havant and Waterloo will play their first home league game of the campaign. They are at home to Chippenham Town. Kickoff at 3 p.m. Gosport Borough, their way to Plymouth Parkway. Kickoff at the same time in that one. And this time next week, Gosport will be at home to Basingstoke Town as well. So it is a busy, busy week coming up involving our local sides in the local area. But just quickly before we go, I know it's early days, but we'll just quickly round up the table in the Wessex League First Division, because it's good reading for Baffins. I mean, they've played more games than anybody else. They've played two games, but they picked up 4 points. Moneyfields second, having won. Fairham Town in third, having won themselves. And for the likes of AFC Porchester, looking to play their first game of the season. Petersfield looking to get off the mark at the weekend in the Premier Division. The First Division table, again, it's not really much to write home about. Fleetland's 3 points from their one game in their fourth place in the table. Obviously, the 9-0 victory means they're the best placed sides on 3 points, whereas for Clanfield, 0 points from their opening game of the season. But that is just about it for us here on Over the White Line on 93.7 Express FM. And as I say, it's another busy week involving our local sides. We wish them all the very, very best in those particular efforts. Haven't looking to bounce back. Gosport looking to kick on with their momentum. And of course, Moneyfields as well, having a good start to their campaign, having got through in the cup and having a good start to their league season. So we'll be catching up with them as well over the next week or so. And if you do want to get in contact with us ahead of next week's programme, you can do on the text, the tweets, the emails, Express, and your message to 81400. Twitter's at ExpressFM, email studio at expressfm.com. And of course, don't forget to download the brand new ExpressFM app, available on the Apple App Store and via Google Play. Wherever you can get and download your apps from, you can listen to us live around the world, as well as sending voice notes to our various presenters and various shows across the station. And it is a very busy night across Express FM this evening. But before we do that, just a reminder, Pompey Live is back on Saturday. Pompey making the trip to Brisbane Road to take on Leighton Orient. Robbie James and Jake Smith will be leading the coverage from 2 o'clock in association with Aquacars, bringing you an hour full of pre-match build-up, live kick-by-kick commentary from 3 o'clock, before then full discussion post-match for an hour until 6 p.m. courtesy of Pompey Live Extra Time. Meanwhile, elsewhere across Express FM, is a very, very busy night for us. Wednesdays full of your specialist programmes, your specialist music programmes. Dan Ogus is going to be scattering the roots from 9 o'clock until 11. Then Eleanor Scannell is going to have Express Hits taking you through the night. And then coming up after the 7 o'clock news, Express Country with Hannah Roper. Of course, don't forget as well, after Pompey Live, every single Saturday, the brilliant Josh Richardson will be having his local music show. Just great songs from the great waterfront city. Plus, we'll see who is number one in the local music charts. And then Adam Jenkins will be presenting the Decades Party from 7 o'clock. Right, I'm going to be back this time next week from 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a busy show for you. Two local matches taking place involving three of our local sides. But that's it for me for now. Enjoy the rest of your week. Take care. Bye bye for now.
Over the White Line
with Henry Deacon.